when I walk through deep waters, I know that you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome. Through the valley of the shadow, I will not fear. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never.
Let's all stand as we get ready to change over service. Let's sing Fill My Way With Love before we go. Let me walk, blessed Lord. 87 in red book. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Never let me in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. my way every day with love. Soon this race will be o'er and I'll travel no more, but abide in the home above. Let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly leader, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. Soon the race will be over. Let's change over the service this evening. Brother Wade comes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Yes.
Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you here on a Wednesday night. Well, it was a hot one today, wasn't it? Man, wow. But we've had a good year so far. We haven't had a lot of... What, Josh? What are you doing? Oh. I'm okay? Okay, all right. Thought maybe there's something wrong with the... They still on? Okay. All right, well, while they're playing around up here, let's get our announcements out of the way. Next Wednesday, August the 4th, Brother Aaron will be preaching for us, and they are on their way here, back from their excursion. Good to have Brother Danny and Sister Joyce back, and all the ones that were gone, was good to have them back. I think Brother John Durrett's probably still on vacation. Just pray for them on the way back. Also remember that same week, August the 3rd through the 6th, will be camp meeting in Ruth, North Carolina. I talked to Brother Joe Green yesterday, and they're not going to have any, as far as he knows, any foreign brothers. Brother Donnie Reagan and Brother Ron Spencer will be doing the services at the church. It will not be at the school. It will be at the church. All right, so just remember that. And also I want to thank all the ladies and the men and everybody that had something to do yesterday with Sister Maggie's funeral. It was beautiful and well done and had plenty of food. And Sister Gwen and Brother Joe really did appreciate it. So just keep praying for the family, for the loss. Loved one, and also Amy and Jeffrey and the different ones. Pray for them. Brother Luis, you'll be preaching August the 11th. I want to go ahead and get that out of the way. Also, we really thank everybody for participating in the youth service this past Saturday. Brother Richard Hyatt did a good job. He really felt at home with all of us, so he's a real good brother. And just pray for their church up there in Russellville, Kentucky. All right, also, we're going to, this Sunday, we're going to have communion and foot washing. We talked about that. Okay. I know we talked about it before, but we're going to go ahead and start having foot washing again. So we'll have communion and foot washing this coming Sunday. Everybody with me? Okay. Communion and foot washing this coming Sunday. Good to get back to that. That's one ordinance we have not done for a while, so we'll get back to it. So the Lord bless you. If you would turn to Hebrews 9, we'll continue with the plan of eternal redemption. We will get to the two prophets today. Brother Donnie, for sure. Because I cut out a lot. I hate deleting quotes. I don't like doing that. I don't like deleting quotes, but I had to delete some to get to where we're going. So Hebrews 9. And really, you know, and when we look at this plan of redemption from here forward, when we leave in Revelation 4:1, when the bride leaves, and I want y'all to understand something, and you know that, but some of the new ones don't, there's a difference between the bride and the church. The bride is a chosen vessel. The bride is his sons and daughters. The church is the church nominal, or you call a remnant if you wish. They're the ones that come part the way in, but don't come all the way in. They're taught, you know, like, you know, you heard Brother Branham there teaching on baptism of the Holy Ghost, justification, sanctification, and then the baptism of the Holy Ghost puts you in the body of Christ. A lot of people are just taught that they need to shake a hand, try to turn over a new leaf, and then they get told all these life things that they need to do. You know, it's kind of like a chicken soup for the soul, you know, that. I don't think chicken soup got anything to do with the soul, right? That doesn't feed me. I want something to feed my soul. The Word of God feeds my soul. The correct Word of God. Now, you can have the Word of God, but the correct Word of God is what feeds your soul. So tonight, as we look even in Book of Revelations, we see that because of the mystery that we have that's unfolded to me and you in the end time, we can understand and see the bride, and we can see the church. All right, and you got to separate them. If you don't, like Brother Brown said, that one man said, well, Brother Brown said, it looks like the bride's up in heaven, the bride's on earth, the bride's over here. He said, you just don't have the bride down right. You got to have the bride down right. Because the bride, remember, is a secret catching away. The bride is all has been in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, never to be erased in any shape or form or fashion. That Genesis 1:26 man. Amen? Then you have a foolish virgin that comes part of the way. And then you have the ones of the cup of water in my name and all those different things. And they're the ones that are left for the tribulation period. And we'll get into that in just a minute. So let's bow our heads before we get started. I think we got everything covered. Just sure enough, pray for Sister Gwen and Brother Joe. They really, for 13 years, she harbored, I mean, she stayed there with her mom. And now her mom's gone. So let's just keep them in prayers. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you give us. This night in the middle of the week that we can just rejuvenate ourselves a little bit from all the cares of the world. And just for a little while, sit back and, Lord, talk about you. Father, we pray that you'd be the ones that are sick, the ones that came in, the real serious one there, Brother Yancey's or Sister LaDonna. We pray that you would just go to her right now, Lord, and take that away from her, Lord, and maybe may she be off that ventilator. And, Lord, she'll give you another testimony, as you said, that she was a real faith based lady, believer. So, Lord, I pray that you'd touch her, Lord. She stood for you. Now, please, Lord, stand for her. We pray that you'd be with Brother Tom Ernest and all the different ones, Lord. Brother Jewel called yesterday. He's out of the hospital, so he's doing better. But we pray that you'd just continue to bless him and be with him. Be with the little bride around the world, Lord. Be with the ones even in our congregation, Lord, that are not here tonight. We pray that you'd touch them, Father, in their body and give them something spiritually, Lord, as they go through their journey. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jewel is out of the hospital, I meant to mention, and he's going through some more speech therapy because his speech is a little bit slurred from the mini stroke that he had. But they're working on his, he's got two valves that are leaking in his heart, and there's blood in his heart. So you have to just be careful with that. And they're trying to do it, put the pacemaker in. So Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being coming high priest of good things to come by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And that's what we've been on for 27 sermons here. Now, Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing. He's not going to do anything. But what he reveals is to the prophets first. Because the prophet is a mouthpiece of God. Now, we know there are false prophets. But you've got to discern the right and the wrong. Amen? The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Then Revelation 11, verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 days. That's 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing to the reading of the word. And because of that 1,260 days, see, that's where it took another prophet, because man has wondered what in the world is 1,260 days, because it doesn't coincide with our 365 days of the year. But the prophet of God being a prophet, God spoke to him and said, that's a prophetic calendar. Before the flood, before the antediluvian flood, that the world was standing upright and there was 360 days. It wobbles now, so there's 365 and a fourth day. But under regular time, it was 360 days. All right. And remember that when we go into the millennium, it's going to be 360 days. It's going to be 1,000 years, not like our calendar years. All right. So in Hebrews 9:11, he obtained eternal redemption. Let's go to Revelations 1, verse 20, just a background, just a moment. Because there had to be seven stars, and we know the seven stars are the angels of the church, seven churches. So there were seven angels, or messengers from God. We saw that last week. Which they sawest are the seven churches. So there's seven stars, seven angels that are going to be sent to a group of people to create, I said create, the body of Christ. Because that's what he's doing. They become a new creation. So they created the body of Christ out of denomination and out of all the different things. There's a bride been called out in every age, not being in an age, but they're called out of the age because the age, if you read in Revelations, we read it in Revelations 1, you see there's good stuff and there's bad stuff to each one of these church ages. There's good and bad, good and bad, good and bad. But when you come to the last church age, none of it's good. It's all bad. Why? Because we have actually put God outside the door. His only church age is where he's knocking and trying to get back in his own church. Get back in his own building. That's why I said you got to know there's a bride. Because the bride didn't push him out. The church pushed him out. All right, so he's knocking on the church door, not the bride door. Because the bride has always been inside with God in the Holy of Holies. Everybody got that? Amen? So now we see that we needed a prophet to come. Matthew 17, verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and what? Restore all things. In other words, like we were talking about, the cord of the gospel of Jesus Christ was perfect. It was eternal. It was complete. And then man got involved and started taking the scissors of their own ideas and started cutting this one out and cutting that one out and turning the page where it says Acts 2:38 and not Matthew 28:19, which is, we know it's saying the exact same thing. But man didn't know that. Man's ideas put them totally separate, and it what? Created denominations. You look now, we saw Dad's brother yesterday that was a Methodist preacher, and I was going to try to ask him, what are they going to do when they're going to have their vote here, I think, next year or the end of this year, whether to allow homosexuals to be preachers, and that they say it's going to actually create another Methodist church. You can't create another denomination. Great, they got enough of them already. But what is it going to do? Their ideas are going to split them. There'll be a new Methodist church, and there'll be an old Methodist church. The old Methodist church is going to not let the homosexuals preach in the pulpit, and the new ones, the new thinkers, are going to allow that to happen. All right, well, we know nothing against those kind of people. The Bible condemns them. I don't have to. Hey, man, the Bible condemns unclean living. I don't have to do that. All right? I'll shake their hand and say, God bless you, but I'm not going to enter into their junk or let them be able to do anything like the Methodist Church wants to allow them into fellowship. But what is it going to do? So what's my point? My point is, somewhere down the line, that happened in another denomination and another doctrine. Like Dad's always said, the Baptist Church was a Baptist Church, and then they split because one said predestination was this, and one said predestination was that. Just off of one little thing, you've now got Free Will Baptist and First Baptist and Third Baptist and Tenth Baptist, and you got all these progressive, and then you got the ones that are contemporary, and you see what I mean? God can't be that confused, folks. So God had to send a prophet to bring it all back together. And listen, he didn't just bring him here. He brought him here under vindication. And like I said before, whatever you want to think about his life, God spoke to me through that man. Amen. God spoke to me through that man. You're going to have to decide whether he spoke to you through that man. Amen. And he helped me put the word together. And he's waiting on us to fulfill what he's already said. Because you know what? Sometimes we might have loose ends. Because we don't have the full revelation yet. But when he opened, when those seals became open, then he said the Bible became a brand new book. Not a book became a brand new book. The Bible became a brand new book. Why? He said, now I call you bride. He could take the bride and put them over here on this side, and you can run it right down the scriptures, and you're not confused. You know who goes in the rapture. You know who don't go in the rapture. The bride goes in the rapture in the first resurrection. Everybody else stays dead for 1,000 years. Foolish virgin, people that are justified and sanctified, but not the Holy Ghost-filled people. They go in the rapture. That is the bride of Jesus Christ. Not to do with 144,000. We're gone when the 144,000 are called. The reason they're not getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost is because me and you are still here. Amen? We're holding off two things. The resurrection and God going to the Jews. Everybody's wanting God going to the Jews. God going to the Jews. What's he going to do? We better get what we're going to do first. What we're going to do to get out of here. Because we got to get out of the way because he's still got his hand over their eyes because of me and you. So it doesn't matter. Listen, and I don't berate people, but you read these people send me emails and they're in the message and they're talking about Israel and go over to Israel and we need to go to... Why? We got to take care of this Gentile age first. Remember Brother Branham had that zeal. Oh my, if I could go out there in the plains of Mamre or wherever he said he was going to go, and he said, I'll show them the resurrection sign. He said, and they'll believe it. And they would have. But it would have broke all the scriptures in the Bible because he was a Gentile prophet, not a Jewish prophet. But what it was a man feeling the pull of Israel because God's not going to forget Israel. We're going to see here in just a minute. That all this building up me and you is to get that Daniel 70 weeks and put it back together because it's separated because of me and you. He was cut off, but not for himself. Who was he cut off for? Gentiles. The bride, not the church, the bride. Amen? So now, Elisha first come and restore all things. We know that the prophet of God preached. Ever how many years he preached? 30-something years. And we have tapes from 47 to 65. We look and we see that Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. And we know that he did that. So let's go to Malachi 4. Read it again. Behold, I will send you. So in other words, God's got to send you, Elijah the prophet. He's got to send you somebody to turn your heart back. You have to decide whether it's William Branham, John so-and-so, or John Doe, or whoever, sister so-and-so. Right? Because God's going to put all these things in your way to see what you'll do about it. All right? And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. We know that was John the Baptist because the Old Testament fathers to the New Testament age or children. And the heart of the children, the Pentecost in 1906, to the faith of the fathers because remember, the prophet of God had to come just like Elias and restore all things. So he had to restore worship. You see that he was answering questions. I've been trying to go back through the Conduct, Order, and Doctrine series, the two red books. Go back through them every once in a while. It'll give you what? Church order. It'll put everything right in where you need to be. There'll be no questions. He puts it in the Bible, and he brings us a clarity on how to run the church, because the church just got run by this one and got run by that one. And Brother Dale and them went to a church a long time ago where you just sit there. You don't. There's no preachers. That's right, you visited too. They just sit there until the unction strikes somebody and they get up and start preaching. Then this one sits down and another unction and somebody else jumps up and starts preaching. Well, that ain't the way it is. What a bunch of confusion. But it's a church. It's a denomination. I don't know what they call themselves, but they were there and saw it. And we know that the prophet of God said the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Just like he said about speaking in tongues. You can control that because you're not supposed to speak in tongues while the preacher's up here preaching. Doesn't matter. Listen, it may come from God. See, that's the hard part. It may come from God, strike you, but you've got to hold it until there's an order. All right? I don't know why I got into that, but when y'all start speaking in tongues, we'll promise you there'll be an order. We'll be number one. We'll be shocked like you wouldn't believe. I'm talking about me too. But there's an order. Listen, see, it's already set for us, though. We don't have to wonder who's going. What book we got to read. Do we need to read Dobson or we need to read this? No, we need to get the conduct order and doctrine book out. If you believe the prophet come in the end time to restore all things and Brother Branham was the prophet, then I put my faith on that. I really don't put my faith on William Branham. I put my faith on God sent William Branham to talk to me. See, and once you do that, it smooths everything out. You put everybody in their place and everybody's got their position. You don't elevate him above anybody. We don't elevate him above Jesus Christ. We know that. But he was the messenger to bring us what God's already said. There is not another one. Whatever's going to happen from this day forward is going to happen to the Jews when it comes to prophets. The two prophets that are going to Israel, which we'll try to get to tonight, Donnie. All right, so let's read. All right, so if he's going to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So God's made you a promise. He's going to put someone in front of you that's going to take you away from that curse. That's why when we go in the rapture, that's when the curse falls, the real curse. This is not tribulation. This is just this is just nothing compared to what's going to happen. When we leave this place and there's not any control. You say, no, we don't have control. But you know what? The world is controlled by the bride. Yes. Right. Yes. Right. You mark my word. Everything that happens in the world is because somebody's coming to a place in the bride that God saw that they come to, and then this is going to be here to combat it. Right. Because remember, Satan's not original. Satan can't bring something first. In the spiritual world, Satan cannot bring something first. God has to bring it first. God brings revelation. God brings the word. And then Satan comes behind it and perverts it. All right? So if we'll keep that in order, we'll understand that. So now, we know let's read number one. We've read this before. That we look at Malachi 4 and then we also read Revelation 10:7. It says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery. The mystery. One mystery of God shall be finished. You say, Brother Wade, is there just one mystery? Yes, there's only one mystery. To me, it's a mystery of you. That's the whole mystery. The mysterious part that God is going to have a people, a bride, in the most violent age, the most dark age, the most confused age, he's going to have a bride that he's going to not only take out of this world and nobody's going to know it, they're going to take the whole church with them. The whole bride's going to go with them. Amen. There's got to be a resurrection coming this bride. There's got to be a resurrection coming this hour. That's why I'm harping on that so much. We can't have a rapture without a resurrection first. And death has got to be destroyed. To me, that's the revelation that we're going to talk about here in just a minute. Because no other church age is required to beat death. No other church age. Every church age is going to go down to the ground. Another one's going to come up. Going to go down to the ground. Another one's going to come up. In the seventh church age, there are no more church ages. So my mandate and your mandate is to have a voice of the resurrection. And we already got the resurrection signed by in a temporary form when Brother Branham stood and could tell people what they were doing last week, next year, whatever they'd done 10 years ago. He could see it and be 100% accurate. That's not a man. That's God using a man.
Right.
Amen? Never was wrong.
Right.
So according to Malachi 4, Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. This messenger. According to Malachi 4, he turned the hearts of the children of the fathers. He took the Pentecostal babies that were standing in that meeting. You saw him answering some of those, or asking Brother Branham some of these questions. They were asking him how to place this, how to place that. And bring them what? Back to the revelation that Paul had, Irenaeus had, and Martin had, because they had the true revelation in the first three church ages.
Right.
All right? But then there's a mysterious, will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seal. And that's, I know some are new and those words sound tough and hard, but if I can understand it, y'all can too. Okay? I mean, really, if I can understand it, y'all can. All right? Because I'm about as hard-headed as the next guy. He will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seal. So there are seven seals in the Bible. Everybody got that? There's not. It's not written where Brother Branham had to write them again. No, they're already there. The thunders are already there. John was beginning to write them, and God said, don't write them. Seal them back up. In other words, I'm going to reveal them in the end time. It's not time in John. John was down here in the first church age. There was a lot to do. There was a lot of scripture to fulfill that John couldn't fulfill. All right? So now let's go to number two. And I think we're going to get into this maybe when I finish this series. I told you we're going to look at the characteristics of the Son of Man. I believe we need to look at the characteristics of the Son of Man, which we know it's the statue of perfect man, but we want to see what Jesus, how he treated people, how he treated the church, how he treated the future bride. Remember, there wasn't a bride on the earth at the time because he had his body, his physical body was on earth. That was the Son of Man. That was his flesh body. The body of God was standing on earth, right? And he can't have two bodies. What was he doing? He was prophesying himself that there was going a bride going to come when he come back on the day of Pentecost, which he took his body up. And then come back on the day of Pentecost and went into 120 and made them little Jesuses, little bride, running around on the earth. So now look. Now he's been revealed through the church ages, as the Son of God. Remember, Jesus said, I'll come back. They're going to send the Comforter in my Father's name. Now wait a minute. Father's name? Father's not a name. So what's the name of the Father? And who came back on the day of Pentecost? Good. You ought to be talking about it in Sunday school. Because what's the name of the Father? Not Jehovah. That's a title. He only had one name, the Lord Jesus Christ. I and my Father are three. No, I and my Father are one. And his name is Jesus. All heaven. There's not another name. So in other words, you would think, as a human, that the Father's name would be greater than the Son's name, right? So the Bible tells me, though, that all of heaven is named what? Jesus Christ. So there's not another name whereby men might be saved. So there's not a coming up with a Father's name that's different from Jesus Christ. See, that's what it took a prophet to bring us that. And then there's so much clarity, though. You can see it all in the Scripture. You can see it all in the Word of God. How that there's only one God. And thank God that the two witnesses don't have to deal with the Trinity. They're not going to be Trinitarians. They're going to go over there, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to start preaching, and somebody's going to stand up and say, Hear, O Israel! Your God is three. No. They're going to go to the first commandment. Hear, O Israel, thy Lord is one. And they're going to say, finally, y'all sent us all them Trinitarians. Remember, Brother Branham met that Jewish guy. He said, you can't cut God up in three pieces and send him to a Jew. The Jews know, listen, when the Messiah comes, he's going to be God. Now, did we know that? We do now, though. We do now, though. So now he's going to be in the church ages as the Son of God. Now, what is the Son of God? That's the Holy Ghost. It can't be the Son of Man. Now, what's the Son of Man? God in human flesh. God in his human flesh, when he walked on the earth, on the shores of Galilee, and all that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when he walked, all the commentary, that was God walking in human flesh on earth. Never called himself the Son of God. He said, who do man say I the Son of Man am? All right, so he was trying to get them to see who the Son of Man was. But he knew they couldn't stand, not stand, but they, you know, it's like eating something. You know, you keep eating and keep eating and you get so full. It may be the best meal in the world, like cantaloupe and gravy. Man, that's good. Oh, and some tomato to go with it. Y'all ain't never lived till you had that. But you know what? I can only eat so much of it. And the church ages could only take so much. So God give them a revelation of the Son of God. Because Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned around and didn't rebuke him. He said, okay, Peter, that's what I'll build my church on. Is a revelation that I am coming back on the day of Pentecost as the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to enter in a group of people, and they're going to be sons and daughters of God. That was their revelation. And even God winked at their ignorance when they become Trinitarians, because Luther was a Trinitarian. Wesley was a Trinitarian. A lot of those great old ones were Trinitarians, but God winked at their ignorance because what? I want to quote what Brother Branham said in Marriage and Divorce. He says, because of misinterpreted theology, we see we've come to this place. Ever what place you want to say? I say any place that you're outside the will of God. Misinterpreted theology is what took you there. Right? Boyd said under a Methodist church, misinterpreted theology made him believe that there was a Trinity. And he needed to be sprinkled instead of baptized. And all these other things that all y'all went through. Brother Luis, Catholic, right? Different ones. You believe what somebody told you. But you know what? God winked at that because you were doing the best you could do under that condition. But now under conditions that we are now, we know better. And you know what? It makes it more clear. It gives us more clarity to the Word of God. We don't have to go, well, is it church on earth or there's a church in heaven? There's somebody on earth. What? No, we're going to see that in just a minute. Now, he's been revealed through the church ages, to the church ages as Son of God, God being a Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He revealed himself in the church ages, in the congregation as the Holy Spirit among the people. Now, cut the rest of that off because that's what I want to speak on later on, but not now, about this Son of Man. Because we get the sign of the Son of Man, which is Luke 17:30. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, which is God back in power in human flesh. Listen, it's not to say that God wasn't in human flesh in those believers. But it was a portion. Their portion. They got their portion. But when you and I come to this age, and the mystery is supposed to be, what mystery? The mystery that you can interpret the Word right. You, because you got to run it through your filter.
Right, amen. That's right.
You can't just listen. We're not parakeets of William Branham.
Right.
That's just saying what somebody else said.
Right.
And I know we quote him. We quote him to give clarity, because no one could say it. Listen, if he was the prophet in the end time and he was the one who was going to speak to us, let him speak.
Right.
He can say it better than I can, because that's God talking to us. Amen? And it should be God talking to you now.
Right.
All right, let's go to number three. So we'll talk about the Son of Man a little bit later to give a little more clarity to that. But see, to me, that's the mystery, is that the Son of Man can be back on earth and you don't see Jesus walking in human flesh. That's the mystery. It's me and you with the full revelation walking in human flesh. Because listen, the Son of Man took a body change. His body went from mortal to immortal. He was in a tomb dead, completely dead. Totally dead. And now he's alive. And the tomb is empty. Amen? So why are we looking for another body? If God can change his, he can change mine. Amen? If he can change, that's why I look to that. I look to that. And because what? Denomination says, no, we're going to throw this one away and get us a new one. The great mystery is this was born in sin. And it's going to be changed.
That's right.
Just like Jesus' body, because he said we'll have a body like unto his glorious body.
Right.
As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Look at that angel there to the church elect. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about the type of Abraham was met by who? Melchizedek. There in, Genesis 18, somewhere in there, 19. He was met by a man in human flesh. And he called him Lord. He knew who that man was. See, he done met him a year or two later. I mean, before that, when he gave him communion, when he came back from the slaughter of the king. So he knew who that guy was. But there was two other angels with him, though, in this scenario that you see. Well, what happened? Look at that angel there to the church elect. God stayed and talked to Abraham. Because the two other prophets went where? They went to Sodom. Right? The two angels, two preachers, went to Sodom to what? Blind their eyes. Brother Branham said a modern Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. They didn't have the full word. They had the word. They had the word for their time. People were saved under their ministry because they, listen, Lot was saved. Because of them two angels. Lot and his family got out of that place they were in. Right? That's the church nominal, though. That's not the elect. The elect stayed on the hill with God. Abraham was the elect type of us because what happened next? He took a body change so he could conceive and have that promised child, he and Sarah both. So Jesus said it was the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Look at that angel down there to the church elect, to what he done. Look at Jesus, what he done in his generation. Look down here in this generation, what he's doing now, and he's going to bring it in. They'll receive a sign, but they won't believe it. Now, the prophet of God, for years, he had prayer lines. He had discernment. He would tell visions. He would tell prophecy. He preached the word of God. And they loved him, just like they loved Jesus when he was feeding the 5,000 and healing the sick. But when he started preaching his message, they turned him down. Now, that's, they received the sign. The sign was just like, Moses, I started saying Noah. Moses was given, remember God come to Moses and said, Moses, I'm going to give you some signs here. And I want you to produce these signs to the people. And she sure did. Destroyed a whole country because of those signs. And then he sends the same thing. He sends an angel to Brother Branham and he says, I've been here sent from the throne of God to give you a message, to give you a commission. You'll pray for the sick. You'll pray for kings. You'll pray for kings, potentates, and all the different people. And he's like, man, I'm a Kentucky guy. He actually was sitting in a cave in a hole when the angel met him, right? That's where the angel came in the room. He was sitting in that cave up there somewhere up in the mountains in Kentucky, Indiana or Kentucky. And he was sitting there praying. And this angel just walks into the room, you know, and tells him what his commission is. And you know what? He said, nothing will stand in your way, not even cancer. He said, you get the people to believe you. And he said, nothing will stand in your way, not even cancer. And we saw that. Nothing stood in that man's way. But boy, look at it now, though. People are standing in the way of everything. But you know what? They didn't receive the real sign. The real sign is not me standing up here and telling all y'all your past and what you're thinking now, thank God, and all these other things, right? It's preaching the Word of God under the same inspiration and the same revelation that he come to. Because remember, he come to a place in the second part of his ministry. He said, not in the years of preparation. That was a sign to turn you. What does the sign do? It points you in the right direction. If you'll follow it. Hey, some of you in here argue with a stop sign. Get over it. Because your sign is sending you in a direction, and that's the direction you need to go. But they'll receive a sign, but they won't believe it. Oh, they loved Brother Branham when he was healing the sick and raising the dead. And you know what he done? He poured hundreds of thousands of people into their churches. Because they wasn't message churches everywhere. He'd get them saved and born again. Now, what did he say? He said, you go back to your church. And he said, let your light shine. There was nothing else he could do but send them back to the church. So they didn't receive a sign. No, he was just a good man. He was just a good man during his time. But you know, the Pentecostal said, when he started preaching his message, he messed up. No, they messed up. Because they didn't move on with him. They cabbaged down on the gifts, which is great, the healing and the signs and the wonders. Listen, that's wonderful. But that wasn't what he was sent for. He was sent to take a bride that was going to destroy death by the resurrection sign. He said, what you see in part, he said, one day you're going to see in its fullness. Now, if that was part, what are we looking at? If that was part, millions of people healed, hundreds of thousands of discernment, not one of them wrong. Even telling, told that one girl he was going to, you know, she was blind. Started praying for her, and he said he took her to his bosom, and he said, took her back and said, oh, I forgot to ask, what color eyes do you want? That was God. But see, that's not going to save you. That's not going to make you believe this message, but it's a sign to you that there was a resurrection fixing to happen in a group of people. The greatest healing that we're going to get is not that God's going to heal you of your ailment. My biggest ailment is sin.
Right. That's right.
Count all them other things you want to.
Right.
What's keeping us here is unbelief.
Hey, that's right.
Brother Branham, what sin? Smoking, drinking, cussing, running around. He said, nope. The number one sin is unbelief.
Right.
So now that we know that, let's get rid of the unbelief. Because I'll promise you, there will be signs and wonders. Carrying this thing up to, Brother Bram said, when the door of the Gentile church is closed, he said God will do in a year what theologists tried to do in 2,000 years. He said, but it's happening now. Why? It was happening in his ministry. And listen, he didn't shut the book and go home. He handed it to John. John took it from the angel. He didn't take it from Brother Branham. But it came just the same. And evil and adulterous generation will seek after a sign. And they'll have it. It'll be given to them. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale. I missed. 3 days and nights. So the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. We know that's the resurrection. Look. But the resurrection will be the sign. And the resurrection, the sign, is given to the church in this last day. Now see, there was a lot of great men back in the church ages. A lot of great men that had a lot of miracles. But they didn't have the miracle that could stand and tell 100 people, night after night, where they were, what color shoes they had on, what house number they lived at, and was exactly accurate every time. That was our sign. But now, are we going to get blinded by the light of that? Or are we going to become the light of that? Because if you become the light of that, you can't get blinded. If you're looking at something and it's really bright, you're going to get blinded. But if you become the light, you'll never get blinded. So that's why we had to move into this next part of the ministry. And I'm trying to get this to us because until we get into this next part of the ministry, there's no two witnesses going to Israel.
Right.
Read between the lines. Two witnesses are not going over there until we get out of here. So the angel of the Holy Spirit in the meeting, showing the same thing, doing the same thing across the nation, proving that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, just the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the generation that will receive it. Listen, that's our generation. That's us. There's not another generation. Sorry, there will not be another 40 years on this earth, I'll promise you. Well, they may be, but I ain't going to be here. I'm talking about we're going to be in heaven. I ain't talking about being dead. But, as we read before, this whole thing's based on resurrection. So we've got to have a resurrection and a rapture before the two witnesses come. And then you know what? They preach 1,260 days. And then they have a rapture. All right? So let's go to the next one there, based on resurrection. Resurrection is a state of having passed completely through death and having risen from death. To be in a resurrection is different than to be alive. Why? Because the Bible says, alive and remain shall not forbid or hinder those of the seed. We're going to read that in a minute. To be alive is the original state without having passed through death. That's why Paul said, we which are alive and remain, because we don't go through death. To be in resurrection is to have passed through death and been raised up. I thought Jesus did all that for us. So why do we have to do that? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Why do we have to go to funerals now? We're not supposed to. According to the end time message, we're supposed to destroy death. Not by putting on some superhuman shirt or some kind of something. No, it's by the word of God. How did Jesus defeat the devil? How did God himself defeat the devil? By the word. He didn't throw him no sign. He didn't throw him no create something. No, he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Revelation 20 verse 4 said, I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, judgment was given upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. See, look. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead. Now that's the people that are still here. The bride's the only one. Do you hear me? The bride is the only one that does not take the mark of the beast. The foolish virgin and the church, they receive that mark of the beast. Because listen, the mark of the beast is where? In the forehead. In the feet you're thinking. Not 666 stamped on your forehead. It's what you're thinking. He's getting you to think another revelation or another denomination or another twist on the word of God. But these did not. This is the first resurrection. These people overcame the beast. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. That's the one we're looking for. First resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Listen, you come up in the first resurrection, you don't die again. But now some of them are going to come up in the second resurrection and they're going to die again. They're actually going to be annihilated. They're going to go out of existence. If you don't have the... That gives me chills. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. All right, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We read this yesterday. But I would not have you ignorant. Now look, it's okay to be ignorant, but it's not okay to stay ignorant. Being ignorant of something is just, it's not a dummy. You just don't know what's going on in that one position. I'm ignorant when it comes to electricity and computers and how a car runs. That doesn't make me a dummy. I know some things. But if I were to go to school and learn how to do electricity, I would not be ignorant of that. Same way with the Word of God. Some say, well, I don't understand this, so I don't have... That's not an excuse.
Right.
Not in this end time. It's not an excuse to say, well, I don't understand this, so I'll just put that over that way.
Right.
No. Everything, remember, all the ropes got to be tied back together.
Right.
All right? But I want to have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Have we got the two witnesses yet? Okay. That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Look, have no hope. I went to funerals where the people that were buried had no hope. Unless at the very end they came to a sinner's salvation because of the life that they lived. And then what do? You just hope. Well, see, there's people that we've buried that I don't hope I'll ever see them again. I know I'm going to see them again. Why? Because the life they lived and the Word of God that they lived under and the like I said yesterday, the name that you carry with you. All right? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are sleeping Jesus, will God bring with him. For this... We say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive, there's that alive. See, we're not going through that. We're going to be alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That's what we're doing now. We're preventing them. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now listen, like I said before, if you read that, you go, well, something's going to, maybe there's one day this something's going to just go, hey! No, we've already had the shout. According to the message, we've already had the shout. That shout turned us away from that old thinking that we had and turned us to the real thinking, not a new thinking. Listen, this might be new to us, but it's not new to God. Okay? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. What was Revelations 10? The mighty angel came down from heaven with an open book in his hand. And why did he do that? There was a people here to receive it.
Right.
Listen, God doesn't do anything without somebody here to receive it.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's just going to be five people or two people or one person.
Right.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, a message.
That's right.
The voice of the archangel. What is that? The resurrection message.
Right.
And with the trump of God, not toot, 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 toot. No. We know what that trumpet says when it sounds. And it's not going to be a toot, 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 toot. What is it? It's going to be a voice.
Right. Right.
It's going to be a voice. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Remember, there is no such thing as a rapture in the Bible, but we know that's what that is. Because remember, the word rapture is ecstasy. The rapture is a pinnacle or a height of something that you reach. So we've got to get the dead out of the ground first. And buddy, once we see that, it's going to cause a rapture. The greatest ecstasy you'll ever see in your life will be for somebody that you know to walk back into this church and sit down. Because what can stop you then? Nothing. Nothing can stop you then. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Look, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What is the trump of God? It's a revelation that death can be destroyed in a human being that's dying. To me, that's the great mystery that Satan can't even understand because, see, he knows the day you were born. He knew you were born in sin. He knew because, listen, he was the one that made Eve do what she did, remember? Got her to do what she did, and guess what? That's the way we've all come. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. You know, Paul said, behold, I'm going to show you a mystery. In other words, I'm not going to hide it. I'm going to show it to you. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There's that trump again. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And we know what that trumpet says. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Now look, let me ask you a question. Right now, you're living under that. I'm sorry, as pretty as you are, you're corruption. Don't pass out, okay? Shouldn't have used. Don't pass out. But we all are. We were born in sin. We were born in corruption. Jesus' body was corrupting. It was dying. It hadn't corrupt. Didn't corrupt in the grave, but it was dying. Right? Look, watch. And the dead shall be raised. I was looking at this yesterday. Shall be raised incorruptible. Oh, no, just a little while ago. Raised incorruptible. Now, where are they laying now? In the grave, in corruption, their body. There's a lot of saints that died in the first church age. You probably can't even find their body. Dust. Ashes. But God knows where they are. My heavens, if He created it, He ought to know where it's at. Doesn't matter if it went through a drain and all down into the ocean. He knows where it's at. Because remember, the Bible says the body's going to come out of the sea, and they're going to come out of this place, and they're going to come out of that place. Yeah, that's right. But look, if we were, this should have said, according to what everybody believes, except the true believers, and the dead shall be raised in a new body. Because you can't put this word in here unless it was here to begin with. I mean, that's just something. You understand what I mean? Okay. So it had to be corruptible, but now it's raised incorruptible. So whatever that corruptible is, God's going to raise it by the power of transformation, by the power of change. He's going to make it incorruptible. Right. Same way with mortal. This mortal, today you're mortal, all of you. But Jesus reached immortality. He had a mortal body. And if it was just to get a new one, that one would have been left in the tomb. And you can't read the Bible with something left in a tomb. Because it had to be raised incorruptible. So to me that proves. Now we know when you say new body, we'll cover that maybe later on. Listen, I'm not going to look 61 years old. I'm not going to have wrinkles and gray hair. Right? It is going to be a new body, but it's not going to be another body. It's going to be this body made new, because one time it was corruptible by what mom and daddy brought, but by the power of the Holy Ghost, and even if we have to lay it down into the ground, it's going to be raised incorruptible. To me, that's real simple. But most other 99% of the people, and most in the message, don't think there's enough power of God, I don't guess, to change. Paul said, change this vile body. My, it started to change when you got the new birth. I won't get on that anymore. We got to get to the two witnesses. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. So this corruptible is going to put on incorruption, not get another one. Put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now look. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now remember, according to Revelation 10:7, the mystery of God should be finished. Right? That's what he said. That's the Bible. So it says right here, Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. So somebody has got to get the revelation of that mystery. Not the mystery of the new birth, not the mystery of not being but one God, the mystery of water baptism, that should already be there. But we should be at a higher plane to where we see the mystery is. And I wrote myself a note, somebody will get the revelation of that mystery, because you can't say this. If somebody didn't resurrect incorruptible, and somebody's going to have to be alive, according to the other scripture, alive and remain, to call them out of the ground. You say, "Brother Wade, this is a fairy tale." No, it's very real. It may be a fairy tale to you. It may be a fairy tale to the world. But it's not a fairy tale to me. It's the truth. Amen. And it will happen. Listen, you can't stop it from happening. All your unbelief cannot heap up and stop it from happening. Because the whole world is against this, and they're not going to stop it from happening. Amen? So now let's go to Revelations 4:1. "And after this I looked, behold, a door was open in heaven." Somebody caught that mystery. "And the first voice, which I heard, was as it were a what?" There's another trumpet. "Talking with me." Now what did John type? He typed the bride, not the church. John typed the bride, not the church. He typed the bride. "So the bride, I heard, was it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'm going to pull you up that door." You say, "Well, you're misquoting it." I don't think so. "Come up hither. Come up hither. I'm going to draw you through that door." You can't, listen, John didn't say, "I looked and there was a door on earth and I just walked right in it." No, there was a door in heaven. Heavenly places. Not way up there in heaven. It was a place John couldn't get to on earth. It had to open in heaven, and a voice had to call me and you up out of that what? Prophet of God said one time, out of dead denomination. And that don't mean a Baptist or Methodist. That means our denomination. "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit." I was changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. "Immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one." There's that one guy again. There's that one God sitting on the throne. Now we'll get to Matthew 17, but let me make a comment here. Because catching away is what? Rapture. We just talked about that. Rapture's not even in the Bible. It's catching away. But it is, the rapture is a culmination of all the Bible. What happens in the Bible, there will be a rapture or a pinnacle or an ecstasy that man has never, never reached before. Now, Jesus did, because he went in the resurrection. I mean, he went in his rapture. So now listen. This catching away, though, if John typed the bride, then see, this is not to the church. It's not to the church. Why are y'all so sleepy? Maybe you need to take something. Take a Holy Ghost pill before you walk in the door. I know that hurts your feelings, but I'm sorry. You don't fall asleep when you're watching Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke? Who watches Gunsmoke anymore? You know what Gunsmoke is? She's like, "I don't know what Gunsmoke is." But listen, the catching away, though, is not for the foolish virgin or 90% of the world. 99% of the world. That's why it's a secret. That's why. And then the more secret is that the denominational world says, "Well, if we miss the first one, we'll get the second one." You know, that Left Behind or whatever that was, the movie. I mean, that was made by the Antichrist. It wasn't showing the Antichrist in the end. It was made by the Antichrist. Because I'll promise you, the Bible says, you miss the first resurrection, you're going to die twice. Right? Which the second death has no hold. Amen? So I don't know how in the world you can miss one and not get, anyway, and get saved during that time. Because even the foolish virgin, listen, the foolish virgin can't get saved. Full of the Holy Ghost. You understand what I mean? Foolish virgin can't even get the Holy Ghost during the tribulation period. Nobody can get, listen, when we go in a rapture, the Gentile age is over. There's no other nations is going to be saved. It's going to be two witnesses that go to Jerusalem and they take out 144,000, 12,000 out of each tribe, and that's it. So let's go to Matthew 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus, taking Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. Now, how in the world did they know that's Moses and Elijah? They wasn't no YouTube, or they wasn't no Facebook, or FaceTime. They got a revelation that if Jesus was standing there with two men, it had to be Moses and Elijah, because Elijah's got to come back, because that shows the second coming of Christ. Because who's writing this? Matthew's writing this. He wasn't even there. He wasn't up on the mountain. It was Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John, and Jesus. All right, so there's your two witnesses. Now let's go to Revelation 11:3. I told you we'd get there. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. Now what is power? Dunamis. They're going to get the Holy Ghost after we leave. Because if they get the Holy Ghost before we leave, they go into rapture. So you got to be careful with that. Because there are two witnesses that go over there. So they get the Holy Ghost somewhere. And I will give power to my two witnesses. And it's not in there, but you think that, I mean, as soon as our rapture takes place, as soon as we go to the marriage supper, I don't think the very next second they're going to start preaching. It's going to develop. They're going to preach 1,260 days. That's the promise of preaching 1,260 days. All right, and they shall prophesy or preach 1,203 score days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire. Listen, they're not going to be a fire-breathing dragon. What they say is going to come to pass. They have authority, but you know who? We're going to have that same authority to get out of here. It's just going to move from here over to there. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. In other words, what they meted to them, they're going to meet right back. These have power to shut heaven, that it rained not in the days of their prophecy. Now, who did that? Who did that when they were here? Elijah. Remember, he said it won't rain for 3.5 years. And have power over water to turn to blood. Who did that? Moses. The Nile River turned to blood. And to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, in other words, during this time they're preaching the word of God, they're going to call out 144,000 and they're going to get born again. Now, they're not going to be bride, because remember, the bride's already gone. The church is going through tribulation, not the bride. Bride's gone. Church and 144,000 is going to, the foolish version are going to go through the tribulation period. God's going to be speaking to these 144,000. They are going to what? Receive that message, because we're going to read it here in just a minute. And when they shall have finished their testimony, and the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, who is this beast? The Pope. The man of sin. Who's not going to be able to work and incarnate a man until God incarnates us and takes us out of here. Amen? God's got to incarnate us first. When Satan sees God incarnate us, he's going to know how to do it, and he's going to go over there and do it. And then he's going to do, we'll read it in just a minute. Daniel 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven. Now look, Revelation 10, 7, there was a man put one foot on land and one foot on sea and said, time shall be no longer. That's Gentiles. Our time will be over at that time. But Israel is given 1,260 days or 3.5 years, right? Who is Daniel? Daniel's a Jew, so they're getting their Jewish prophecy. Like I said before, the book of Daniel is the book of Revelations to the Jew. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a dividing of time. 1, 2, 3.5 years. Got that? Time, times, and a half. 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard but understood not. And I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Remember, Daniel is wanting to know what's going to happen to his people. Right. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. That's the bride. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Look, but the wise shall understand. Amen. Listen, I don't have it there, but in Revelation 18, verse 23, all nations will be deceived by the beast. All nations, all people will be deceived by this one beast. He's going to have so much power and so much authority to... But look, the wise will understand. Me and you, listen, me and you won't have to deal with that guy. We're going to be gone. But the church is going to have to deal with him. The foolish virgin. These 144,000. Let's go one more and then we'll close. It's not 8:30 yet. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do 6 things, to finish the transgression, make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, that first three part is what the 144,000 are going to receive. The two prophets are going to preach Jesus Christ, and it's going to do away with their sin, just like me and you, do away with their transgression, finish it. Brother Brown said the transgression is when they put him on the cross. Let his blood be on us and our children. Right. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. Right. They should have known better. That was their Messiah. He came exactly the way their Bible in the Old Testament said he would come. Yeah. Now look, and then to bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Right. Now we know what the prophet of God said about that. To anoint the most holy would be us, the most anointed people, riding back into the millennium, and we'll get to that when we cover Daniel 70 weeks, maybe later on. So let's read the 70th week of Daniel. I want to get to this right here, and then we'll stop. Questions and Answers, 1953. Then when the church is taken up, now he's given us an order of what's going to happen. Then when the church is taken up, now see, he says church, but you got to remember, that's bride. That's not the church. The church doesn't show up until after the 1,000 years is over with. Everybody got that? Y'all okay? Can you say amen where I can hear it?
Amen.
Okay. Moses and Elijah, I'm getting hard of hearing in my old age. I didn't think y'all said anything. But Moses and Elijah, look, appears in Revelation 11 and preaches Jesus Christ. Now, they've been preached Jesus Christ for 2,000 years. And God still had their hand over their eyes. But something pulled the hand off of their eyes. When we went in a rapture, it pulled the wool off their eyes. Or the hand. And the Holy Spirit took from the Gentiles. Look, and the rapture comes for the church. Now that's bride. We know that. Because the bride goes up in the first resurrection. That was proven. All right? And the Jews that's left here will be preached for 3.5 years because he said there's 70 weeks. And the Messiah will be cut off between them. Then he's taken away. The Gentiles will be given a place. Then they get 3.5 years to be preached to of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Zechariah 12, verse 10. It said, and I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, what was David? He's a Jew.
Right.
David's a Jew. All right. And watch the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Jews. The spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Now who's that talking about? Jesus Christ. There's only one man that's been pierced like that. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And that day there'll be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadoraman in the Valley of Megiddon. They fish and go back to the Battle of Armageddon here in just a little while, so they get familiar with that valley. But they mourn, and in Zechariah 13:6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? See, Jesus is not going to appear. Has he hadn't appeared to me and you, but I know he's got nail prints in his hand. But he's going to do, through the two witnesses preaching Jesus Christ, they're going to say, where are these wounds? And what are these wounds? Then he shall say, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Then, like I said, they're going to mourn and they're going to turn their face and they're going to say, we're finished. We're done. He's going to kill us. He's going to do away with us. Remember when Joseph, perfect type of Christ, Joseph had brought his brothers, right? They had supposedly killed him. Ever how many years ago that was? Throwed him in a ditch, right? So Joseph goes to Egypt, gets elevated to the right hand of Pharaoh, right? He gets to speak in another language, and he's probably hid his face or got a different tan, and they don't know who he is. But he was Joseph all the time. See, he was Jesus all the time. That's who we got revealed to us. But then what he's going to do is he's going to call his brethren. Who is his brethren? The tribes of Israel. Remember? All of his brothers are the 12 tribes of Israel. Right? So they're going to call. He's going to call them, and they're going to be in his presence through two witnesses. And then what does the Bible say? He reveals himself to his brethren. And what does his brethren say? Oh, we've had it now. Here's this great man that rules all of Egypt. Remember the Bible said the only thing he wasn't was Pharaoh. Pharaoh told him, said, whatever you do is your business. Just I'm still Pharaoh. Right? Right? So here's Joseph and here's his brethren and they're standing around him and he reveals himself. And they say, oh man, we're dead. We supposedly killed the one that's getting ready to, we hope's going to save us. And he said, don't worry. He said, God did this to preserve life. Remember there were 7 years of famine? There were 7 years of good, 7 years of famine. He said, God did this to preserve life. Through seven church ages, he held there. Couldn't see the mystery. Couldn't see Joseph. Joseph was always there. Right? Nothing changed except him revealing himself. He started speaking in their language and took his hat off or whatever he had on, you know, and he said, I'm Joseph. And instead of them running up and grabbing him, remember, because he had to go run and grab Benjamin, they said, we're dead. And that's the same thing going to happen when them two witnesses show those people that Jesus Christ was their Savior and they put him on the cross. They said, we're dead now. Where'd you get these wounds? He said, those which was wounded, which I was wounded in the house of my friends. So after the rapture of the church, God's going to go to Israel. And he's going to reveal himself to Israel. And Israel's going to mourn. But they're not going to mourn for long. Because when they get to real revelation and they keep hearing that 3.5 year message by those two prophets. And they see the signs. Now you got to be careful. They see the signs. Listen, the Jews want a sign. Right? Gentiles never needed a sign. Never needed a sign. Centurion says, whatever you say, you know how I come to my house. Amen. The lady that with the breadcrumbs and all the different things like that. And he said, I never have found faith in Israel. But what was the first thing Jairus did? Come in here and put your hand, lay your hands on my daughter. Israel needs somebody to a sign. Where Gentiles don't need a sign. Gentiles don't need, that's what I said about laying on the hands. That's good. But that's not a Gentile way. Gentile way is that centurion. I have power. You have power. I have power for 100 people, and I tell them where to go. What he was telling Jesus was, he said, I know you got power over 100 demons, or whatever. I know you got power. You just speak, and then I'll just go to the house. But the Jews had to wait on him. They had to wait on a sign. They had to wait on him to go over there. Remember, he had to run them out of the house because of their unbelief. He had to run them out of the house to waken that girl. So, but now God's so gracious, though. Musicians, come on. God's so gracious. So he's going to deal with that just like the way they like it. He's going to send them two prophets that absolutely almost destroy the world just by what they say.
Right.
Every sign, every wonder, fire proceedeth out of their mouth.
Right.
What they say will come to pass.
Right.
And the Jews are going to say, oh, we've missed it. Let's stand to our feet. But I hope you see, because the next section we go into is going to be with the Jews and what happens, because there's a man of sin comes in. He sits in the temple of God, showing himself to be as God, takes over the world because we're not here. The whole world's been taken over by him. And listen, if you don't have the new birth today, you got the same spirit that's going to be over there, a spirit of Antichrist. And I'm sorry. But, I mean, you don't have to stay that way, remember. You can be ignorant, but you don't have to stay that way. There's a God that can take that away from you. There's a God that can take that man of sin out of your life. And you'll go in that first resurrection, the first rapture. Let's sing a song.
204. What a day it will be.
If you have a need.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day.
Listen, you got to believe that day is going to happen, and it's going to happen to you. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face. We're going to see him at the rapture. We're going to meet him in the air. We're going to go spend 3.5 years with him while he's dealing with the Jews. So we'll see him through that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there. We'll have to go to a funeral. We'll have to go to a hospital. We'll have to go to the doctor.
No more sickness nor pain.
But this is not a fairy tale, folks. This is the truth. This is the truth that's never been spoken before. This is the truth that God wanted us to see. So he sent us a prophet, but he gave us a fivefold ministry to break it down to the people so that you can understand and I can understand what's going on. We'll be, oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face. The one who saved me by his grace.
Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be.
You know, we don't have to wait to be led by God. We're led by him now. Amen. That will just be a culmination, a reality that we'll go over in that dimension with him, and we'll have a body likened to his glorious body, because it will be eternal. It will be incorruptible. It will be immortal. Everybody wants to have all these Supermans and all these people that are immortal. You know, they always have an Achilles heel, though. They always have something. Superman's got kryptonite and all these other different things. Folks, this is a reality. You way past Superman. You way past Superman. We're not going to get over there in glory in about 50 million years into the journey. We're going to say, oops, there's sin coming to camp. Nope, ain't going to happen. Because there won't be no sin nowhere. Everything will be destroyed. All the devils will be gone. My, what a day that will be. You remember, Lord, this weekend, we're going to take communion and foot washing. Brother Aaron will be preaching Wednesday night. He'll get back home here pretty quick, so he'll be listening in. So let's bow our heads. All minds clear, everything good. Have a good week. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you just be with us in this journey that we're on, Lord, that you'll continue to bless us and keep us safe. Bless our pastor, Lord, and keep him safe, Lord, and touch his body, Lord. We pray that you touch us all, Father. Just give us a good last part of the week, Lord, and we'll come back together and take communion and foot washing and hear from you, Lord, on Sunday. Father, we pray that you just bless each one that's traveling. Be with the ones that are sick, Lord. Be with Brother Forney and the different ones, Lord, and Brother Tom Ernest and the different ones that we pray for all the time. Brother Colley and Brother Darty and the different ones, Lord. Sister Johnny, we pray that you just be with each one, Lord. As we call their name, we know there's something happening. Lord, as we call their name, the airwaves have been broken. And there's a petition that went to you, Father. Now I pray that there be a faith behind that petition, that by your stripes we're already healed. Father, we ask your blessings on each one on the way home, Father. Just take care of us until we come back together in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
That will be
when my
Jesus I shall see.